Yes.
Square, black square.
Okay.
Okay, guys.
Go ahead.
And that.
I'm here. Yes.
Freeman Hendricks.
Present.
Don Mardini.
Here.
Dr. Edgar Robertson.
Here.
Kevin Smith.
Present.
Ned Stabler.
President.
Elaine Saff.
Present.
Approval of the agenda.
So moved.
So moved.
I'll second that.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Public comment. Remind everyone, time limit for public comment is 3 minutes. So do we have anyone present who would like to speak? Do we have anyone online who would like to speak?
Unmute yourself.
Yes. Have them identify themselves for the
Go ahead and unmute yourself.
Okay, here. Hi there, can I be heard?
Yes, yes you can.
Hi there, Mr. Chair. My name is Lucas Sasecki, speaking today on my own behalf. All opinions are my own and not those of any individual or group I associate with. Just wanted to bring up to the staff a small concern I had about the queue line. It's been having some operational challenges, which will probably be discussed later. And a lot of those, as I understand, are outside of the RTA's control. The heat's been getting to a lot of maintenance departments and transit around here. But when that necessitates cutting service, the RTA's dispatchers have been putting out a lot of service alerts using technical language that the public doesn't really understand. Like they'll say something like, the train is down to a 3-car alignment. Now I know what that means because I know public transit, but the vast majority of riders don't understand that that's going to mean service reduced every 20 minutes. So that's just something I think ought to be addressed. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else online who would like to speak?
I see no one.
Hearing none, we'll move on to the executive director's report.
Right. Before I jump into my report, I think since we didn't have it on the agenda, but if we have a new board member with us.
Oh, that's you.
Conan. Who's that? Yeah.
Excited to be with you.
Yeah. Do you want a quick background, if you don't mind, for everybody?
Sure. Conan Smith, I'm the president and CEO of the Michigan Environmental Council. We're a coalition of environmental groups based in Lansing. And I have a long history with the RTA. I was the chair of the Washtenaw County Commission when we created it, and I appointed its very first members way back in the day. They didn't think I did a very good job. So when I left the county board, my predecessor appointed my mom. So Alma Smith, who was with you for 12 years, tried to correct my mistake of appointing bad people, I guess. I don't know. I'm excited to be with you. I love public transportation. I think that the RTA and all of our partner agencies can be a real economic engine for this region. And I hope we can figure out how to fund this agency, fund those projects, and make good things happen. Excited to be with you.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Happy to have you. I have a long history with Conan.
That's right.
Okay, I will get into my report. So as always, we start with kind of big news or fun stuff that we've done or important things we've done since the last meeting. So on June 17th, we did a site visit in Cleveland to visit their BRT line on Euclid Corridor. We had a great group of folks from SMART and DDOT, MDOT, City of Detroit, and SEMCOG who attended that meeting or attended that event. This is kind of the ongoing work we've been doing to develop relationships and partnerships as we move our way into the Woodward Rapid Transit study to work to secure federal funding for bus rapid transit or other improvements along Woodward. So key takeaways, I think folks were very interested and engaged with the types of land uses, land use tools, and changes that were being done along that corridor and the connection between the transit and the land use. the engagement conversations with the Cleveland RTA about kind of the long-term engagement and just how it kind of drove development along that corridor. So this is just an example. We won't be doing tours all the time, but some of the things we want to do while we're doing the technical work to bring the corridor project together is trying to do different types of events like this along the corridor to get feedback, but also just to kind of talk to people about what kind of changes can bring to what we're doing. So good event.
Ben, can you give me one example of land use that you saw?
I can give you a couple. I'm going to turn to Casey. You want to do a couple? So I will say the BRT itself is anchored by a massive hospital development. So that was really, that kind of came along with the Euclid Corridor. So it was a big medical center development, but then...
Yeah, there was also a lot of reference to zoning or like zoning overlays or certain form-based codes that were used over the years to also include like transit-oriented development. So how the land use and housing was interacting with the transit alignment itself, and then how that also impacted development in a positive way.
I think one of the challenges for us from having a uniform TOD policy, obviously, for Woodward is there's 13 different land use jurisdictions that go along Woodward. So that will be our challenge, one of our major challenges as we're trying to develop the project going forward. It's not insurmountable, but it will be unique in the scale of the nation. Usually BRT projects are within one city or jurisdiction, not crossing 13. So there's been a lot of previous work done, and I think the communities are very energized to want to work in partnership here, but it will be a challenge. Okay, getting a little more to the nitty-gritty stuff. So Q-Line ridership trends through June. We continue to post really solid ridership numbers. Our 2026 goal, just over 1.1 million. That goal is actually set above the draft year, which was the highest year ever in 2023. Was that
23? It was.
Jeez, oh my God. Was it four? Wait a minute.
24. Four.
All right.
It's been 2 years.
2 years. All right. It's all blur. But we are trending, as you can see, very well. We're almost 2% over target and continue to do well. And again, we measure this, month over month, but doing well so far. Some Q-Line metrics. See some of the high level things that we track to make sure we're doing well in terms of performance. So completed trips. So our target is over 90%. So we have quarter one here as a comparison to June. Quarter one, we were a little bit under. A lot of that was due to struggles during the winter and parking interference during the winter, which we're all aware of. 88% in June. So it's a good solid month, not quite at target, but we had a couple of really strong weeks in June. So that was going along well. We look at the on-time performance at both ends of the corridor. So at Grand Boulevard, which is our first stop, and then Congress, 90% is our targeted grant. So just surfing just under that, 89%. And Congress, 78%. We're shooting closer to 85. Those are a little bit under, but still strong numbers. Congress, as you can imagine, is a little bit more of a struggle because you have to come down the entire alignment before we get there. So there's a lot of other interference and things that can happen. And then on time on the alignment is 70%. And this is measured at on time at every single platform the entire time. So this means you're hitting every single time point. Nothing is getting in your way. So you've hit your endpoint, time points, and everything else. So this one's a little bit harder to hit because, as we all know, Q-Line can't move out of the way when there's a slowdown. So 74% is a good strong number for on time on the alignment. Some of the challenges, and our public commenter alluded to this, vehicle availability. We do have a couple of long-term rehabilitation projects underway. We have a vehicle that has not been operational since we've owned the Q-Line for 2 years that we are actively working to bring back to operation, which is a great and worthy exercise, but it's something that's taking a little bit longer than we had hoped. We're chasing a lot of what we call the gremlins down the electrical system. That seems to be in a good place, and now we're just doing some rehab of the brakes and other things. So that is a good and worthy effort. The heat obviously does wreak some havoc with our battery systems, with our traction power substations. We have done a lot of work in the solutions and really looking at the AC units, both in the street, in the vehicles, but also in the substations, to make sure that we're rehabbing those correctly, that we're doing the right preventative maintenance to make sure when we have big heat spikes that we don't have heat issues. We are doing more proactive pet planning for the vehicles, and we do implement weather protocols. That's really more of a safety note. So even a day like, you know, an awful day like today, we're still going to operate because we are a public transit service that has to be out there for the public. But we have certain protocols in terms of operator breaks, you know, other things like that, that we implement. So it does slow down operations a little bit, but we're doing it for the safety of our employees. D282 and DAX. So 50% increases were the targets for this. D282 is doing really, really well. DAX is just slightly under. And you can see the kind of the gray bars are the 2026 ridership. DAX had a couple of like one kind of off month really, but has come back really strong. One of the reports, and we don't know if this is a total trend yet, but it was kind of a cool report. So our contracted partner who operates the service actually is owned by a company that operates airport services throughout the nation. And they reported to us that most airport services are down about 5% ridership. And as you can imagine, you know, things, Spirit Airline closing, the cost of travel, the cost of fuel, all those things are impacting air travel in general. But we posted, and again, this is just 1 month, we posted a 15% increase for DAX. So a little too early to speculate if that's like a really good trend or just, it just hasn't hit us yet. We are thinking that because a goodly portion of our ridership are actual airport employees, that is actually keeping a nice solid base for this service. And then D282 just continues to be really, really strong. I do want to note it's been, we had to move the D282 stop away from the Blake Transit Center because they're doing a big this in Ann Arbor because they're doing a big redevelopment there. So we're actually a little bit closer to the campus. It's been about a month, I think, we've been at that location. So far, so good with the ridership. We did a lot of work communicating to make sure people knew where the bus was moving. And obviously, the ride had to move all their buses to different places. So there was a big effort to make sure people knew. But we haven't seen any impacts of that as of yet.
So, Ben, quick question. So the increase for the D282 and the DAX and 1712, that's year over year?
So, so we're looking at, yeah, across the year. So we want to see by the end of this year, 15% increase total in total.
So currently, as of June, we see a 17% increase.
Correct.
Yep. Can you guys look at that since 2025 and 2024?
We did. I can send you the numbers. It is a little bit lower than those years just because those years were so incredibly high. So we're looking at more like 30% increases for D282 and DAX. So it's really steadied out more around 15 towards the end of last year. So we're like, okay, that seems like still an aggressive number, but it's a good solid target.
Yeah. Thank you.
Also, so just for context, if I recall correctly from 100 years ago when we were first starting D282, in March of 2020, the week of COVID, we decided to launch.
Well, COVID decided to hit.
Oh, fair enough. It's true. We did. It's not like COVID hit, and we're like, you know what, we should do launch a bus. That's right. We've been working on it for a year or two, right?
Yeah.
It coincided. How's that? The launches coincided.
Yes.
I remember I was very big on saying, I want to know what our goals are. I want to know what our goals are. I mean, we need an actual quantifiable goal. And I think, I can't remember exactly, but I remember thinking 8,000 to 10,000 monthly riders is kind of what we would say successful. And it took us a couple of years, but we're doing we're doing over 10,000 now.
Yep.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's nice job. Yeah, I think it starts to demonstrate like why we need long-term funding and how this is a model that can be used else on other routes because it works.
Yep. And we will be talking more about that later in the fall when we complete our Highway Express Plus study, looking at other routes and other things. So thank you for teeing that up.
There you go.
Transit app, where's the chain? There we go. So we've been operating the transit app for the region since October. So our initial focus was downloads and users, looking for a 20% increase was our target. A few other just indicators we're looking at. So I'd say we look again, but you know, June of 26 against June of 25 is how we measure. So users are 30% up from June of 25, downloads 5% up, and sessions 54% up. So doing really, really well in terms of users. And then sessions are, could someone explain again what the sessions are? I always forget this part, Jonathan or Mish.
Sessions are users that could be repeated users, but it's the overall use of the app. So downloads, we will start to see steady out because we only have so many folks in the region who can download and take access of the Transit Royale subscription. But users and sessions, as we see the longevity of this, will really show us how well this continues to do because that's what's showing us how much people are using the app.
So essentially 54,000 people used the app 4.7 million times.
Exactly.
Yes.
Could have been one of them 4 million times.
Yeah. But may have been me. Just kidding. Yeah.
It's like, that's bad going on to check and see how many times people use it.
And then I won't talk. We have a whole fun external affairs marketing presentation later, so I won't go into that. But you will see an example of our banner in our transit app banner here. I won't steal your thunder. Quick note on state budget. So we're still waiting for the governor's sign off, but we did get an increase in local bus operating to $305 million, which was under what the governor's recommendation was, but is an increase over last year. So in the kind of the parlance, the language we use when we talk about local bus operating, that puts us up to a 30.5% distribution rate. So the way we look at it is local bus operating replaces or funds a certain percentage of your operating budget. Last year was about 28%. This year is about just over 30%. So it is an increase. So that's good. Not as much as we wanted, but for those of us who've been in transit in LBO land for a long time, but very happy. quiet. Yeah. The second year of the Infrastructure Project Authority Fund, which was created for this budget year, or it was created in 2024, but for the 20 or sorry, 25 for the 26 budget, this held steady at $65 million. This is money available to do infrastructure projects, planning, design, other things like that. I'll talk very briefly about some of the applications we put in for this year's funding in the next slide. And the state capital match held steady. So good overall, nice, solid, results for us in the state budget. Just a grab bag slide. So the new state infrastructure funding, we had six applications submitted from the RTA region, basically one from each one of the providers. So People Mover, DDOT, Smart, RTA, and the ride. People Mover did two applications. That's where you get that last six one. We led one that is going to focus on planning and design for the downtown Detroit transit network, with the idea being that all of our regional and local transit comes downtown on Gratiot, Michigan, Woodward, or uses Congress, Martin, Washington to make their way around. If you were to look at a speed map of transit in the region, it comes downtown and it goes from like green to yellow to just like red, right? When it comes downtown. So really wanting to look at that network and see, are there dedicated lanes or other improvements we can put in that are going to help not just one service, but other services. We are also looking, as part of that, is going to be a more formal look at the queue line itself and dedicated lanes along the queue line. As a reminder to the board, we did secure a $2.6 million CDS, congressionally directed spending request, to be able to implement some improvements. We still haven't gotten the actual, like, operationally received that request yet. So we're hoping we can get a little bit of this planning and design in place before we receive that.
So these were applied for? Were they?
Yes. No, these are applied for. So, yeah. So the applications are due June 30th. We should hear back by the end of the summer. It might take a little bit longer than that. There were 30 mid-30s applications submitted throughout the state. I think it was 33. They had $65 million. They got $140 million in applications. So not as much as I thought we're going to get a whole lot more than that. So MDOT is the MDOT, in concert with other state agencies, are going to be making the selections here. Some procurements, always fun, but very necessary. So IT managed services, Q-Line direct internet access, so our fiber network, custodial services, electrical infrastructure, and on-call electrical services, and concrete repair. So this is the ongoing work we're doing to kind of bring the nonprofit Q-Line into public compliance, do public, you know, publicly facing procurements that are FTA compliant. So that's we have a lot of that going on actively right now. So thanks to our procurement team. There's Becky. Yay, Becky. Thank you, Becky and Belle. Yeah. and these are complicated because it really is, you know, how do we set up these types of this type of business going forward, particularly for something like concrete repair is a really good example. You don't know necessarily what you need to repair all the time, but if we go through the appropriate procurement channels, it can take months to get somebody out there to repair something. So how do we find that balance? Woodward Rapid Transit Study, we had our internal kickoff. We're going to be kicking that off more formally in July with the technical working group and all the transit providers. So we'll have some more updates on that going forward. Our mobility wallet pilot is complete. Thanks, Casey, leading that effort. And we will be updating the board on the results of that pilot and what we're kind of hoping to do going forward in August. I think I hit all of these. These are just kind of a grab bag, and I'll talk more about the budget in the next presentation. So I can take any other questions.
No questions. Yes, that moves us on to the budget update.
All right. So, this is our first public presentation of what's going to be in the budget, some of the major themes, some of the things for the board to be on the lookout for as we're developing the budget for fiscal year 2027. So this is our budget development process. It actually starts at the beginning of the year. We have to do a state application to secure local bus operating funds, and we kind of go through an iterative process developing the budget almost entirely kind of ongoing throughout the year. So again, this isn't totally definitive. This is more like the first draft, the first time we've kind of gotten everything together to be able to share some of the cost drivers and other strategic things we're doing with the budget. So really looking for board feedback here. The next step is to present a draft budget and budget book. That'll be in August. That goes along with a public hearing in August, and then the final budget is in September. So this budget is rooted in our most recently updated strategic plan. So the objective of that plan was to focus our resources on areas that that derive the most value for the region. So delivering the direct services we have and trying to secure as much funding as we can for the region. And the idea of the strategic plan just being as aligned as possible to providing direct value to the region and all the things that we're doing. So how do we define at a high level that value to the region? So we invest in these categories and the region gets these things. So the Q-Line, we invest in the Q-Line, the region gets economic development and community connectivity. We invest in express bus and the region gets better regional connections. We invest in customer experience and the region gets an easier travel experience. We invest in corridors, we get future rapid corridors. We advance and enhance access, we get more accessibilities for seniors and people with disabilities. We invest in transit stops, we get better places for transit customers, and we invest in trying to secure more funding, and we get more resources to deliver everything else that we want to deliver. From a budget perspective, this chart is instructive, teeing off the ARPA investment that was made by this board in August of 2021. We spent the first 2 years of that investment really building capacity, building the team. bringing folks on to kind of just build up the ability for the RTA to deliver. 24 and 25 was about growth and transition, taking on the queue line. And now we have our new strategic direction. So this budget invests in delivering the first year of the strategic plan while preserving the flexibility we need for addressing long-term regional funding challenges. So here's some pie charts for people who like pie charts. Expenses and revenues. I'll go through this in a little bit more detail. We do have a little bit of an increase over 2026, but it is a funded increase. So right now we do have a balanced budget. There are cost drivers and other pieces that we need to go through. I think from a revenue standpoint, the key things to keep an eye on are obviously the ARPA funding and what that's supporting, and then the amount of state funding we get. That's actually a pretty good variety of sources, but a lot of that is local bus operating. And then we get another chunk of funding from the convention fund, which I'll talk about a little bit more detail as we move on. So I'm going to discuss the budget in three major categories. But I think one of the things that we're really trying to make sure we communicate in this budget to the best of our ability is that if we're delivering the queue line, and we're delivering the strategic programs, so things like D2A2 and DAX and those things, the delivery of those things is largely dependent on the regional services team. So the salaries of the people who are on the regional services team, some of the contractors that work under and within the regional services budget are helping to deliver these things for the region. So trying to create that connection, at least from a policy standpoint and an understanding standpoint for this board, is really important. And we're going to do some more work to make a financial connection with those things. So I'll give you a very straightforward example. How much of my time is spent with the queue line? Right now, the regional services budget supports my time, right? So just trying to make those connections that we're starting to get into that this year. So queue line, we're starting to get into some graphs and charts here, but it's about $11.4 million budget to operate the queue line. Some of the expense drivers that we're going to be looking at for fiscal 27, we have a labor contract renewal. That labor contract is up at the end of December. We have a 10-year-old asset. That's everything. So that's the concrete, that's the stations, that's the vehicles, that's everything. So we are starting to see that concrete wear away. We're starting to see the age of assets. We have a 10-year-old technology system. And as I think everybody knows, 10 years in technology is 10 iterations of technology. We are starting to run into the case where the software operating systems no longer align with the hardware that we have. So we have to update the hardware. We're looking at doing major overhauls. We did batteries last year. We're about halfway through doing brakes. We're going to have to start looking at the pantograph system. So really starting to get into those big overhauls, make sure we're buying spare parts for those overhauls. And while we're doing all that, we're looking at strategic projects. We already talked a little bit about dedicated lanes. We do have some funding for that. But what can we do along the corridor to make the queue line a better experience? And then from a funding standpoint, we have a good diverse funding mix, which is great. So we have some federal funding, some state matches to support that, some local DDA funding, LBO funding from the state, and then convention, the CFDF is the Convention Development Fund, I think is what it's called. I just call it CFDF. An important thing to note, our biggest contributor, that CFDF fund, is flat. So we get $5 million a year, which is great. Yeah. Whoever's listening, wonderful. Thank you so much. But things grow and get more expensive every single year. So that's just something as we're starting to see these capital expenses start to kind of pile up and operating things change, we're going to have to really look at how do we have sources that grow with that.
How long is the commitment?
Yep. So that's through 2039 right now. And there is some legislation to extend the date of that for some of the other people who get funding from it. So we're going to see if we can become part of that.
I was going to say, is all overall revenues are increasing? Would we be in a position to request
an escalator?
Yes. We can request. But right now, the language we have is it's $5 million. So we're not a percentage of anything.
Yeah.
So there is some active legislation that we did not initiate that we're trying to see if we can work our way into to see if we can get an escalator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So strategic programs, I did a little bit more work here just trying to make an alignment between when we say something like Express Bus, like what are the actual projects we're doing? And this is something we're doing even internally is to really think about these things more as campaigns that have multiple projects and things. So from a funding standpoint, by and large, these are supported by separate discretionary grants, state grants, federal grants. The important thing to know is grants run out. So what we're gonna have to do is figure out, hey, if the transit app is successful and the grant for that runs out in 2028, what do we do going forward? The biggest note here is the D282 index. That is supported largely by ARPA funding. So if we don't have a solve for ARPA by 2029, of all of the strategic programs we have, that is materially impacted directly. So the regional services team, so our expense drivers we're looking at, we have 8 current full-time staff. We're targeting 12 to be able to go forward. I think 11 is the highest we've ever had. We do have a pretty good mix of professional services. So our financial consulting teams, our government relations teams, legal teams. We do a pretty good bit of cost sharing with the Q line on those, but it is still a little bit heavy on the regional services side. As I indicated earlier, there's staff here that supports things for the services in the queue line. There's also consultants that support those things. So if we have a consultant, for example, doing a highway express bus study, we're paying for that with the ARPA money that we have, which I think is a completely good thing to do. But those are the types of things that are supporting the outside services. And then we are, as we always will, but I think we're getting a little bit more serious. We are going to keep looking at office space. This is a wonderful space, but we do share it, and it can get a little bit tricky sometimes. And there's some hope that I think culturally speaking, especially having our own space would really kind of help solidify what we're doing as an agency. And this is the last slide. So just broadly funding considerations. So our existing commitments are growing, Q-Line capital operations, Express Bus expansion, the Woodward Rapid Transit project, improved customer technology. I could go on and on. But our ARPA revenue is exhausted by 2029, which impacts regional services and D282 index. We have flat dedicated revenues. And we have limited discretionary spending. I mean, we are applying for grants everywhere they come up, but, you know, federally, the discretionary funding kind of goes up and down and changes and is a little, you know, all over the place, just to be honest. So without us really having a good way forward, we're going to have to start having more discussions about, do we continue existing programs? Do we expand successful programs? Do we invest in major capital items? And how and when do we pursue more sustainable funding? So that's what I got. Go ahead, sir. Sorry. Through the chair.
Oh, no. Go right ahead.
Ben, what's... Do you know that aggregate ARPA funding on an annualized basis?
How much we spend? Yeah. So it's about $6.5 million.
Across all
programs. Across all programs. Yep.
Any other questions for Ben? Thank you. Moving on to the consent agenda. Does anyone entertain a motion?
So move.
A second?
Support.
Does anyone have any questions? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
I'll abstain from the minutes since I was
very good. Thank you.
Here.
Next on the agenda is the approval of the May and June 2026 financial reports. Since Alma is not here, she's the one that usually explains things to us.
We have Michelle.
Okay.
Good afternoon.
See if I can.
Ben, if you want to, are you pulling up?
Yeah. Yep.
June balance sheet.
June balance sheet. Why don't you introduce yourself to our new board member?
Oh, Michelle. Sure, of course. I'm Michelle Hodges. I am a consultant with Raymond, and I'm the outsourced CFO for the RTA.
It's in the CBP. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was for your benefit.
Very sorry.
I'm Michelle Hodges. I'm a CPA. I'm a consultant with Raymond. I serve as the outsourced CFO for the RTA.
Oh, I thought you were totally different, Michelle Hodges.
I get that all the time. I've met her. Lovely woman.
Well, nice to put a face with that name.
This is it. Thank you very much. Okay, so here we have essentially our balance sheet for June. And just, you know, under governmental accounting standards, just to explain a bit, the first column there is based on its modified accrual. It's more short-term in nature, looking at our short-term assets and liabilities. Second column are the adjustments that'll take us to the third column, which is essentially our full accrual financial statement. Fourth column there just compares to last year at this time, just for comparative purposes. We want to include those numbers there. I'm going to touch on just some of the bigger swings from current year to prior year and explain what some of those changes are and why they're happening. I'm sure you'll notice cash is down this year compared to last year, but likewise, our accounts receivable are up quite a bit this year compared to last year. And that's really, we have the DDOT subrecipient grant agreement that I think it's officially very close to being signed, but we've been holding off on certain grant draws and using cash on hand to pay those expenses because we anticipate receiving these funds through DDOT, and we want to be able to maximize use of those funds, which would, you know, involved putting through some of these expenses. So all that to say, if tomorrow the DDOT grant, you know, we determined it wasn't going to happen, we do have other funding sources, but we've just been holding off. We're trying to strategically use those funds. So that's why our cash and AR looks a bit flipped. Really don't have anything else on the assets that I wanted to point out. Going down into the liability section, I think really the biggest thing there is the due to state amount this year compared to last year. As we all know, last year was our first year in operations, and as Ben up for the Q line. And as Ben just described, we receive LBO funding, which is based on budgets that we're doing February 1st for the following fiscal year. So we're receiving payments for LBO every month based on that budget that was done, you know, 8 months prior to the start of the fiscal year. And so we had some adjustments there to our actual budget and actual expenses incurred. So we anticipate that we are going to owe the state back for funding from LBO that was paid to us that essentially we're going to have to refund because our expenses came in below where we were initially budgeting. So we're continuing to refine that, and I would imagine that amount will be much lower for next year, but, you know, continuing to watch that. Only other item I wanted to point out here is the subscription liability that's related to the transit app. We entered into that, early this year. So that's why, no, actually, I think it was at the end of last fiscal year, but that's why last June it wouldn't have been a liability on the books, and it's sitting there now. So if we go, the next statement is really our full accrual, if you will, revenue and expenditures. But I actually like to look at the next statement, if you could, Ben. This is our modified accrual, but this is how we budget. It focuses more on short-term cash coming in, cash going out. So just a few items that I want to point out on these next couple of pages here. One that I think I point out every time I meet with you all is the convention funds, which we receive every year under governmental accounting standards. We cannot recognize that revenue until the very end of our fiscal year. So September 30th is when we recognize it. But for budget purposes, we're budgeting it over the course of the year. So there always appears to be, you know, less state revenue, but we do still anticipate receiving that full $5 million at the end of the year. And it will be factored in once we get to the end of the year.
And it's you know, from a cash standpoint, you know, there could be concern there, but because of the way it works, we're receiving that cash for the prior year at the start of our fiscal year. So November, I think it was, we received the payment from last year. So from a cash standpoint, we do have the cash, we have cash on hand related to the convention funds. The other one that impacts is our DDA funding, but we were able to recognize that at the end of June. So now you do see the full $900,000 from the DDA. It's recorded as revenue in our June statements. On the expense side, I do feel like we're coming in much closer from, I will say, an operations standpoint. You know, when you look at salaries and fringes, things like that, we are a bit over on professional fees. We've had some legal expenses, things of that nature that have come in a hair over, but really we're trending nicely and staying within budget for those categories. Happy to answer any questions if anyone has anything now or ever. If you ever have follow-up questions, happy to address any questions or concerns.
Any questions?
One that the available cash balance,
yes,
like is that all ultimately spoken for in terms of expenses, or do we sit on a reserve of any sort?
We do have a reserve. We have much of it's restricted for Q line essentially, because it's convention funds, and convention funds are essentially restricted for Q line operations. There's a little bit more DDA funding that we can use a bit more broadly. So we do have some unrestricted funds from last year's DDA, you know, carry over. But outside of that, much of our funding is federally reimbursement based. So it's ins and outs.
I guess I would, we're striving to hit a 2 month operating.
Yeah, that would be ideal.
So we kind of peg our KPIs at trying to have at least 2 months of operating reserve, which, you know, get mostly for the Q line, but and I think we're either at it or right
very close,
like, yeah, right around that, it. Yeah. So we've been kind of trying to build that the last couple of years.
Yeah. It's just
trying
hard to do without dedicated funding.
Yeah. That's why it's just 2 months. I'd like it to be more.
There's always
thank you, Michelle.
Sure, of course.
Next on the agenda is approval. Do we need
we have to approve the? Oh, yes, yes.
Entertain a motion. Motion to approve.
Support.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Next is the approval of the Public Transportation Agency Safety Plan.
Okay, so the Public Transportation Agency Safety Plan, or the PTAS, as we so lovingly call it, is something that is it's a kind of a critical document that we have for the operation of the Q line. Just for board note, we actually also have one for our express buses, but it doesn't have the same regulatory regime that we have for rail. So we kind of set that one, and just we don't necessarily need to update it every single year. But the rail safety program is dictated by the FTA and the state. So this is kind of the document that guides us in that program. So this update was a fairly straightforward update. Just a couple of quick notes. So we did have a triennial audit, safety audit. So there's a couple of small changes related to that, mainly in terms of how we manage vehicle maintenance records. And we're really trying to move those. Those are the last records really that we have that are physically kept. And there's some practical reasons for that, being out and actually doing things when you're on the streetcar. Like, it's a little bit easier to do with paper and a pencil or pen. But we're working on seeing if we can modernize that. We did do some changes to how we're doing our safety committee. So we used to have one committee that met every other week, which is basically everyone at the Q line. We've broken that up. So we have a committee that meets weekly, that goes through all the safety events and everything else. And then we have another committee that's the required, it's called the Joint Labor Safety Management Committee, which is the required committee you have to have. That meets every other week. That's where we take voting action. Hey, Dave.
Hey, sorry, guys.
Who serves on that committee?
The joint labors.
Yes.
Yeah. So that is.
You have to have equal union and management.
So how many individuals do we have serving?
Six. Okay. Three and three. I just couldn't remember the names.
Is it ATU?
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. And ATU is invited and ATU members are on there. And then we have a committee that meets just monthly, which is the executive committee. So that's managers and myself. We kind of go over the entire program.
And how many individuals are we making?
We have eight on that. Those were the big updates. There's a couple other small notes I want to identify. There was one mistake that we found that we reference performance metrics being set in 2017 and 2019 data. That's a typo. That is 2025 data that was double checked once we caught that. So that should be clean. And then the other thing I just want to say for the board. I'm going to start doing quarterly safety reports in memo form. We were doing like a monthly, I would do him an update during my executive director's report. I kind of fell out of that. But I think given where we are with our new structure, doing kind of a monthly report on safety trends, not only events, but kind of how we're doing closing what we call caps, and just giving the board a little bit more insight to that is something I'm going to put on the agenda. So.
Well, the one thing I'll add, Ben, is that, when we have occasion to not have a formal meeting, you've been pretty good about providing an update, if you will, progress report of things that have occurred since the last meeting. And I find those to be very helpful, even when we're having a meeting, because it gives us the time and opportunity to review at our own pace and leisure. And coming to the meeting. So I would be one to encourage the continuance of you providing those updates on a monthly basis.
Do we historically, has the QM done mock crisis exercises?
Yes.
And how often are they done?
Great question. Usually we will do what we call a tabletop exercise every year. And Rachel's going to correct me if I'm wrong. We do one every year. So we did cybersecurity. We've done, what did we do this year?
This year we got to still do it for the fall, but it's going to be a fire one in the shop. The street park.
Well, actually we did a tabletop of that one, but we're going to do a full scale like with the fire department drill. And if a lithium ion battery catches on fire.
That's great to hear, because clearly when there's been crises around the country, people respond better because of the exercises that were done previously. So I'm very happy to hear.
And I would say our safety, Chief Safety Officer Stace Babcock, isn't here with us today because she's actually completing an audit, a state audit, because we have the state auditors in right now. So she's dealing with that. So that's fine. Why don't you just deal with those others?
That's good.
Yep.
Any other questions for Ben?
One more from me.
Yes.
Forgive me if this is remedial for all of you. We set targets in the safety plan. What are the consequences of missing those targets?
I don't think there are any. Major, like, we're not going to lose funding. The consequence would be more auditing, more, the state basically working with us to make sure that whatever we're doing to continue to miss those targets ceases to happen. Mm-hmm. I suppose if it got really bad, the state could shut us down.
Like, what's been our track record on?
It's been pretty much stellar. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was on a riff off of Freeman's, like, I'm just seeing the plan, and I know you guys have seen the actual metrics before, right?
Yeah.
So, like, the collisions data, do we have collisions? And, like, what is the relationship to the targets in this plan to our lived reality?
So the targets in this plan are based on our lived reality. So we look at what did we do last year? you know, how much service did we put out there? How many collisions did we have? How many are preventable? So one of the pieces of nomenclature we have is we have, we call everything an event. That's what the state makes us call it. Most of those are collisions. And then the other key piece is we identify things that are non-preventable and preventable.
Yeah.
So that preventable event is the number one. It's like if it's, so we're really, that's the key thing we're training because we want to reduce those, right? Because that's a training related thing or a maintenance related thing. So we have data on all of that. So that's why I was thinking if I could start to do maybe a pilot or you suggested just laying that out. I think it would help us make sure we're communicating to you guys.
Yeah,
which is fine. Yeah.
The safety plan, correct me if I'm wrong, is reviewed by the state as well.
Yes. Oh, yes.
So do we have a state regulatory body that's different from traditional transit because it's yes. a fixed rail?
Yep. It's just us and the people mover. So they get very, they really like us because it's just us and the people mover. So yeah, we have just this one state department that is just over our safety, the people mover safety. Huh. Yeah.
We have good support.
Yes.
I'm not sure if this fits in here, but a couple meetings ago, we were talking about safety, not only the queue line, but individuals with bikes and the queue line rails itself. Mm-hmm. Do we have any update on that? I don't know if this is appropriate, but.
Yeah. So we did a big signage upgrade program. So we put, I can't remember the number right now, but dozens and dozens. I'm like, Casey, like you're going
to
remember.
It was like close to 20.
20 new signs out there. We changed the messaging. So the previous messaging basically was a bike with like a squiggly line, which is the sign we have to keep for regulatory reasons. I won't get into that right now. But the sign under it said something like slippery tracks.
Bike and scooter might catch tracks.
Well, that's the new sign. The old one just said slippery.
Yeah.
Which doesn't say anything about be careful when you're riding on this track. So we changed all the word signage to say bike or scooter may catch. We've added more signs along the corridor. We did an educational video with kind of real life conditions, like showing actual people riding and how to not only ride safely on the corridor, other options that they could use, how to get a queue line or get a bike on and off the queue line. And we did that in connection with Bike Safety Month, week, year. Big bike
which seat. You will see an example of very shortly.
Yes, yeah. and then we are also working to upgrade the Q-Line website so that those the communication about bicycle safety and frankly also parking, which is another big kind of external issue we have, gets promoted a lot more on that website to make sure that people understand kind of the parking rules and biking rules. So those are some of the things we've done, and we're going to continue to look at it because yeah.
Are those tracked as events or that's great actually question. Kind of what spurred
yeah,
that?
Yeah, so no, they are not tracked as events because they're not part of our state regulatory regime. And one of the things we've had a few conversations with DPD about is we often won't even get reporting if someone had an accident, you know, had a collision or had an accident because they got caught and they had to be taken away in an ambulance. We might see it out there. We might get delayed by it, but no one's telling us, oh, this happened because bus and such. So we've talked to them a little bit about if that does happen, could we at least get the information so we know how much is happening, but it's not kind of under our regime of regulatory. It's under our responsibility, which is why we're communicating about it. But yeah, from a regulatory perspective, it's not.
Very good. In the chair's prerogative, I would like to go right to Corey.
Oh, wait. We need a vote to approve the PTAS.
Oh, yes.
So moved.
Support.
Sorry about that. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Now, Corey, if we could just go right to you.
Thank you. I'm going to bring to you an update on what the external affairs team has been doing this summer, how we have been busy. A couple of promotional campaigns excited to share with you and just give you an update on marketing and communication efforts that we have developed. We've got a full presentation.
Okay,
Next slide. Movement on the queue. You may remember that in May, we did a partnership with the Movement Festival. And it was very successful. We brought the festival in tech to the streetcar. We just happened to choose the rainiest day out of the month of May for this to take place. But nevertheless, we still had a fun environment. It was a party environment. DJ Hudet, who was a headliner for the music tech for the Movement Festival, graced us with her skills on the streetcar. And we had the partnership with Paxahow, who actually runs the Movement Festival. And so successful, we want to keep this up throughout the year. There's a few fun pictures, and we have an entire video recap to show you. Mm-hmm. Next slide. Let's hope it works. Let's get some audio.
Always the trick.
No, do you see the audio at the bottom? Yeah, see if you can turn that up.
Yep.
That helps.
It's gonna work, okay.
It's so much better with the house tech music.
The button that says use source audio thing, and it's like not on by falls, and you have to go looking for it.
I remember actually seeing like pretty much every meeting people do this.
Yeah.
You'd think after 6 years of us doing this, we'd all know how to do it. And...
Or that they would make it easier.
Yeah.
In Teams.
I would say Microsoft's the worst.
Update. They're like, no updates.
Things nobody ever wants.
No, screw them, change them. They broke, don't fix it.
Oh, there we go. There we go. That's the vibe.
Nope.
Yeah, so it was a success. Paxahow was great. They offered tickets, free tickets. We did raffles on the streetcar so people could come, win tickets to attend the festival throughout the whole weekend for free. They had swag, bags, gifts, and like I said, it's becoming an annual tradition. So look forward to seeing it every year on the Q Line streetcar. And on to the topic of bicycle safety awareness. Also, at the end of May, we launched the bicycle safety awareness campaign. We launched it on social media just to tie into Memorial Day weekend. We know that's a popular time where people want to get out and ride. So taking a look, these are a few of the metrics of the campaign. We did a paid advertising campaign that reached almost 50,000 individuals. The impressions, the engagements, and those are the zip codes that we covered, which were pretty much downtown to midtown proper. So the thought is, because we live in a social media environment, if you are going to be riding, what are you going to do? You're going to pull out your phone. You're going to grab content of yourself riding. So when you pick up that phone, what's going to automatically pop up? Oh, social media ad reminding you of how to ride while you are on Woodward. And we educated folks on the do's and don'ts of riding your bike along Woodward. And there is a visual copy of the updated signs that were placed along Woodward. So that's what they look like now. A little better explanation than what we saw previously on what to do and how not to get your bike or scooter caught in the tracks of the queue line. So next slide. And we have updated our website also, referencing what Ben stated. We are calling this the Rules of the Rail. What to do and what not to do when riding your bike along Woodward. And we have a section on the website now that talks about passenger safety, driver safety, and bike safety. And we also developed an entire code of conduct to guide people when they are riding on Woodward. And then we have a very animated graphic. If you go to our website, you can see on just how to ride properly along the streetcar route. So Rules of the Rail, this is what we are calling it. Next slide. We are in billboard season. I am excited to say we just launched our billboard campaign for D2A2. We have what is called the Way to Go. The Way to Go is our campaign slogan that was developed, and it is all of the ways to go on the RTA branded family of services. So the Way to Go on D2A2, the Way to Go on DAX, and the Way to Go on the Q line. Excited to share. Billboards are now live on M14. We are doing a digital billboard campaign, which will allow us to change the targeted messaging, which you cannot do with a stagnant billboard. So the billboard campaign is going to be running us through September. We're kicking it off with the most popular event in Ann Arbor outside of sports, which is the Ann Arbor Art Fair. And we can tailor that message on the Way to Go to the festival. In addition to that, we're going to switch it out very quickly, the Way to Go for music lovers, and target the Morgan Wallen concert that is sold out at the Big House. Another opportunity for us to gain great ridership for D2A2, because we do have our summer promotion going where we are ending at midnight with that service for D2A2 in the summertime. From there, we're in the month of August, and we all know that's back to school time for U of M, and in conjunction with football season. So the Way to Go on game day. That is the theme of D2A2 and what we are doing with our billboard campaign. So look for us on 94. I mean, 14. And I am so excited to share. We are on the radio, you guys. Officially, we have launched a radio campaign. We have never been on radio before. And with the help of our new marketing partner, FWV, we have launched a radio campaign. They led the effort in selecting just where would the best value with the most listeners and the demographics and developing the actual pitch and the messaging for the campaign. So we are launching on 97.1 The Ticket. As you know, that's sports focused, which is a great demographic for us. And in addition to that, we're going to also be on streaming. So you pull up your podcast, your favorite podcast, you may also hear an RTA ad. And we have also produced ads for all three service lines. So there's an ad for D2A2, there's an ad for DAX, and there's an ad for Q-Line. And they will be mixed in simultaneously. So if you want to go ahead and play, we can give you an example of one of the radio ads.
Metro Airport, get on board. Buying in or out of Detroit Metro Airport, get on board DAX, the Detroit Air Express. Connect from downtown Detroit to both Evans and McNamara terminals in comfort. Fares start at just $6 in advance. Book your next ride at dax-bus.com. Take DAX. It's the way to go.
Wheeling in that tagline of the way to go. Transit app. We have been really promoting transit app, I will say, and I will reiterate, our transit partners have been great with transit app. Everyone is playing a part. The ride, People Mover, DDOT, Smart, they are all promoting transit app through their provider marketing networks. And so we provided, wanting to make it as easy as possible, a transit app summer focus toolkit where they can just submit based on what their popular summer services are, ready-made graphics, ready-made website content. All you have to do really is insert and push. And we're happy to say we highlight, Ben did highlight a little bit on some of the transit app statistics, but we personally have really been pushing our midnight run service in addition for both D2A2 and Q Line. And then we've done a lot of specific targeted for Pride, the fireworks, the African World Festival just this past weekend, and then we'll be doing another major banner campaign for the Jazz Festival at the end of the summer. And we have our transit app banner, so it goes wherever we go. So whenever we are at a major event, we're tabling or displaying, you can go and download the transit app. We just have it so convenient for individuals. So when you see those metrics that talk about downloads, we can make it as easy as possible for people to download. So a lot going on with transit app. We're still promoting that very heavily amongst our, both our riders and our providers as well. Next slide. So what's next? D2A, DAX, D2A2, Q-Line video assets. So the next time I bring you an update report, we will be headed to TV. We have we are building a TV campaign for all three lines. We did a small TV campaign with our previous vendor, Inverve, but it was not, it didn't include visuals. So we have done a lot of videography with FWV. We've gone on all three assets. We've hired actors. You can see them at the bottom of the screen. We're touching demographics. If you focus on the middle, that's the DAX campaign, and we're showing using DAX with a family. We have D2A2 on the end with the young gentleman. He is a student, and that's going to be focused on that's going to be focused on service from Detroit to Ann Arbor. And then a nice little fun campaign at that first slide with the Q Line. So look for us at TV. I can't wait to show you. It's all in production right now. Service line advertising, the second bullet point. I consistently get calls on how to advertise. Consistently get calls on how do we, businesses that really want to bring opportunities to Q Line, can I rent out a Q Line? Can I rent out a streetcar? How can I just put up some advertising? Well, we are developing a campaign and developing a price points where we can be able to offer that as an option. We are a little limited on what we can do because we do have our agreement with MEDC, but there's still opportunities out there. So this is going to be a revenue generating opportunity. First time we've ever sold advertising. So that is in the works, the advertising packet. And then of course, closing out the end of the summer with Jazz on the Cube, we are bringing that back, our partnership with the Detroit Jazz Festival. So we had the movement, tech, high energy starting off the summer, and we're going to end on the smooth jazz notes. So next slide. That any questions that you may have? And that's Hooper. Yes.
And I know June's not here. I'd be asking him for better signage and free ads and all that. But since he's not here, do we have any ads in the airport itself?
We have advertised in the airport. We have advertised DAX. We've done a campaign at both McNamara and Evans terminals at the carousel where you pick up your baggage.
Okay.
It's very expensive.
And you're on there with like a lot of other.
And depending on when you do it, it's in rotation. So like Fish Bones and Motor City Casino, I have utilized that during our down times. January, February, March, we have advertised in that area. But yes, there has been, but it is very expensive.
Yeah, but we've got June, and we're nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to lean into that and see if they might not be able to, unless there are some restrictions that the authority out there limits or won't allow.
I also, and if I seem to recall maybe 6 months ago asking June specifically, the signage at the airport is still uber confusing.
It is.
Like, I'm still not sure. It's not at ground transport. I don't remember where McNamara you pick it up, but it's not where the signs make you think it is.
Yeah. Public transit, that's what we have been able to be approved. And
transit, right.
Ben fought hard for it to be public transit.
Because it was municipal transportation before that.
Bus to city, bus to downtown. Like, you don't talk good, but like,
exactly.
Bus to, like, I've been in other cities. It's like bus, you know, bus to downtown, train to central city, whatever. Like, all right.
We're not
here.
Yeah. We are not.
We all agree when
June
gets here, we can like gang up on him and twist his arm.
The agenda for the next meeting.
Yeah.
Ask June for more.
Yes.
Double exclamation.
Well, I mean, I love the idea of the carousel. I mean, I don't think you get much better than that in terms of signage. People have to pick up their bags, pick up their luggage, they're going somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And there you got a captive audience for however long it takes for their bags to come out.
Exactly.
So I wouldn't give up on that one too quickly, okay. Ben.
Yep.
I think we've got a couple of folks on the airport authority. That's really where to go. Who's sitting down there on the end there?
You in the airport authority?
Not anymore.
No, but he's our influential chairman.
That's true.
Who knows?
Well, and our Wayne County appointed reps can also meet in here with Mr. Evans. So I think we're right. We've got a lot of contacts.
It's not so much Mr. Evans. It's going directly to the board members themselves. Is the Wayne County Community College president still sitting on the board?
I was just thinking that. Is Ivory?
He's an alum from here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've got, there are folks on that board who care about Detroit, care about this system, and it wouldn't be nothing but a stroke of a pen for one of them to say in a meeting, hey, let's do this. Let's do it for 6 months. Let's do it for a year. It's not a hard thing to do. They change the name of the damn terminal. They can certainly do this. Pretty easy is what I'm saying. Right, Conan?
Yes. Totally agree.
Okay.
We have your blessing for that fight. Take on that fight.
It's not even a fight. It's just a
conversation.
It's a request.
It's a conversation.
Yeah.
It's a request.
It'll be a fight.
I mean, you got Lisa Cannon on there.
You know who else is on that board? Marvin's on that board.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, if you could provide us with any kind of parameters in some kind of an email format,
sure,
that would allow us, if one of us broached the question, they're going to say, well, what can you send me that I can have a better handle on what you're asking for? As opposed to one of us picking up the phone and saying, hey, Marvin, can you give us some free airtime on the carousel at, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think he worked with Dennis Jr.'s dad, so he's on the board as well. So
Dennis Jr.'s on the board?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Assuming you have a relationship there from some point in your life.
So if you could get me, maybe that's the one of the last things I can do before I'm out of here.
Sure.
Nice. And we can get you appointed.
The mic drop.
No, I'm going the opposite.
I will see if there's any type of in-kind opportunities. Clear Channel does the advertising representation for the airport.
There are places to put signs too if it's not on the Clear Channel thing. I mean, there's got to be a way for us to get more signage and more visibility.
The authority has a lot of leeway on what they want to do. So just if you could fashion something in the form of a request of what we're asking for, it's the good and welfare of the public, right?
It is.
Okay. Is there any other questions for Corey? Ben told me it'd be an upbeat presentation.
That's right.
It was not disappointing.
And I would like to officially end because it's not done. Jonathan's going to join me for my team. Because we are the external face of the RTA. We have gifts for everyone, our board members.
So I'm here.
Right. So whenever you're out. Thank you.
We're going to lose our cheese. If you wear this pin, you can write it on for free.
You have a pen. And we have an official welcome for Conan. Not only your RTA pen,
right,
but you, everyone else on the board has the RTA cap with our tagline of get on board.
I was a little jealous about this when my mom started wearing it.
Now you have your own. It's
almost took it.
Very good.
You're welcome. And now that concludes the external affairs report.
And then last but not least is the resolution for Elma. And I don't know, do we read it into the record, or how should we proceed here?
I don't know. I'm happy to do
usually
it.
Usually read we resolutions read in full. Right?
Okay.
On boards, I've been on the pen.
Is she online?
Yes, she was. Yes.
Yeah.
Did she hear all that stuff I said about her?
Yeah.
Yes. We'll talk later.
Put her hat in the safe.
Am I to read it?
Sure.
Read it.
Oh, man. All right, here we go. All right, I will read the resolution and preface by saying I talked to Alma earlier this week. Alma's been part of my career for close to 20 years, you know, through Conan and our relationship there. But I think this is a little sad that she's leaving. I'm happy Conan's here. I'm happy, happy to have this transition. But yeah, she's been a big part of this organization in my career personally. So I will read this and do the best I can here. So RTA Resolution Number 61, a resolution recognizing and honoring the dedicated service of Alma Wheeler Smith upon the completion of her public service from the Board of Directors for the Regional Transit Authority of Southeast Michigan. Whereas Alma Wheeler Smith was appointed to the RTA Board of Directors by the Washtenaw County Board of Commissioners, a trusted voice in good governance and policymaking, and has faithfully served the residents of Washtenaw County and across Southeast Michigan for more than 12 years since 2014. Whereas Ms. Wheeler-Smith served as the treasurer for the RTA Board of Directors from 2021 through 2026, providing more than 5 years of leadership and service in that role. Whereas through her tenure, Ms. Wheeler-Smith provided thoughtful leadership, steady guidance, and strong commitment to advancing regional mobility, public transit access, and collaboration with regional stakeholders. Whereas Ms. Wheeler-Smith served during multiple transitional periods with the RTA, contributing to important discussions, policies, and initiatives that strengthen regional transit planning, including the ownership of the transfer of the Key Line streetcar, and help position the organization for future growth and opportunity. Whereas Ms. Wheeler-Smith consistently demonstrated a deep belief in public service and the importance of creating a more connected, equitable, and accessible Southeast Michigan region for residents, workers, students, seniors, and visitors alike. Whereas Ms. Wheeler-Smith has departed from her position to the Regional Transit Authority Board of Directors effective July 16th, 2026. Now, therefore, it be resolved that the RTA Board of Directors, executive leadership, and staff hereby formally recognize and express appreciation for the time and expertise Ms. Wheeler-Smith contributed to the RTA and the region. Be it finally resolved that the RTA Board of Directors hereby expresses best wishes for Ms. Wheeler-Smith's continued success in her endeavors. Thank you so much, Alvin. Very good.
Thank you.
Do we get to offer amendments?
No.
Alma,
yes.
Say something. We want to hear from you.
Well, thank you very much. I enjoyed my 12 years and appreciated the contributions of all of my colleagues on the RTA board. We've had pretty steady membership and certainly dedication from all of the representatives of the county and city. I know things will be better going forward, and I look forward to hearing plans about permanent funding for the RTA so that we can continue to do greater work than we have done so far. But thanks. And Ben, it's been wonderful working with you. I wish you the best of luck with my successor.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thanks, Alma.
Mr. Chair, can I say something?
Yes, absolutely.
I'm glad I came in just in time. Hey, Alma, I'm glad I came back in. I had to take a quick meeting, but just to say thank you. Also, it was a pleasure working with you. And I know some of you don't know, but I actually interned for Alma back when I was an undergrad at University of Michigan. And I always admired you and respected your style and your approach to collaborative work environments. And then sitting with you on the board and just listening to your attention to detail and really understanding all the different elements of transit and really trying to take that understanding and turn it into action. It's just been really amazing just sitting beside you and learning from you. And so I just say thank you for all that I've learned from you over the course of many, many years. And I wish you the best. So thank you.
Thank you, Erica.
Anyone else?
I want to offer my congratulations and just let you know you actually contributed to making me a little bit more of a lazy person, because I always, because I never wanted to look at those numbers, but I always knew that you did. You went through every single one. And so I could just sit back and feel comfortable knowing that, okay, now I can look at them, Julia. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Don.
Well, you've certainly earned some time to sit back, kick up your feet, enjoy the grandkids, and just not have to hustle all the way down here from Ann Arbor once a month for a meeting after doing it for 15, 16 years, 12 years.
Thanks, Freeman. And I know that you and Don are hoping to follow me into retirement from the board. I didn't think I was going to be first off.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Take a vote on the resolution, Mr. Chair.
I'll entertain a motion.
So moved.
Support.
All in favor?
Aye.
Very good. Leaves new business. Anyone have anything that they would like to contribute to the cause? Hearing none, we are adjourned.
All right. Thank you. Thanks, Alma.
Thank you, Alma.
Thanks, Alma.
Bye. Good luck to you.